Here's another Gen X thought of the day. As long as you're happy, everybody else can fuck off. Here's another Gen X thought of the day.
Welcome to the Midweek Tug, everybody. I'm Tommy.
I'm Bear.
And we're the Unrefined Guys. We're not going to go through that whole spiel during the Midweek Tug. We got stuff to do.
like not fucking off.
I love what's happened to Gen X as a whole. We were always looked at as a little bit the trophy generation.
Yeah.
And now we're looked at as the badass generation.
I know there's... forgotten generation, I know that.
Yeah.
But for the longest time, nobody talked about Gen X.
Oh, ever. Ever. As a matter of fact, it's probably only been in the last year.
The only thing you heard about was millennials and
Gen Z.
Gen Z. Yeah. It's all you heard about until
let's be honest. Pandemic. The millennials really kind of put themselves out there.
They did. And when they started talking crap about their parents and or you know, the Gen Xers and basically poked the bear.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a guy on TikTok. I think he goes by the older millennial.
Yeah. We've played a couple of clips.
Look at him. He doesn't look like he could be a millennial because millennial.
It's hard to believe he's younger than us.
Yeah. A millennial, if I remember correctly, is it 97?
I think that's the cutoff.
Millennial and Gen Z, or is it?
I think 97 is the end of millennial.
Because both of our kids, oldest. Yeah.
Or my youngest barely.
Or your
made.
Youngest. Yeah, I'm sorry.
My youngest barely made. My oldest, he's in that weird.
Gen something.
Millennial Gen Z.
Yeah.
I think it's called Gen Alpha or something like that. I'm not
I
sure.
I thought Gen Alpha was this
the
new
next,
generation.
It could be. I'm not sure. But I know he's in a weird.
That.
He's in a weird zone, but he.
My daughter's right there in the cusp.
Yeah. He identifies as a millennial, you know?
Well, yeah. You remember, it's been about 4 years ago. There was this, I think it was on Vine or maybe it was YouTube. That some guy made that song where he recorded all the vocals in a video, and it was millennials. You don't remember this?
No, I don't.
I'm going to look it up. See, this is the cool part about the Midweek Tug. We try our best. Whoops. Sorry about that.
Oops.
See, this is the part of going live. The thing about the Midweek Tug.
Do it live. We'll just do it live.
We'll just shoot from the hip.
Have you ever heard that O'Reilly rant?
When he's just cussing up a storm?
He was cutting promos and stuff. And,
yeah.
And he lost it, and that's what he said. We'll just do it fucking live.
Why am I having such a problem spelling millennial?
Don't ask me. I'm not great at that.
Mill.
Mill?
Millennial.
I think it's M-I. Is it M-I-L or M-I-L-L? See, this is
M-I-L-L.
Terrible. Millennial. Okay. There we go. I just needed to.
Welcome to Midweek Tug, everybody.
Yeah, welcome to Midweek Tug. This is the Unrefined Guys, but we try our damnedest to stay away from politics. We try to, keep it lighthearted and just be as much of a, entertaining,
yeah.
Educational, all that. So I'm surprised you haven't heard this.
I may have. I just did. I don't know.
I'm sure as soon as you hear it. This guy. He did all the vocals, and I think he does the mouth. No, he played the music, too, but it's a great tune.
Ding, ticka, ding, ticka, ding, 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 ding. There he sits inside your local coffee
yes,
shop.
It's a great song.
Sporting a man bun and facial hair. Somehow he believes, although he has no
job, this,
that by his 30s he will be a millionaire. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A.
That's even more pathetic that I couldn't spell it.
M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A.
I remember when this first came out, it's probably been... Oh, hell, I don't know. Well, this video says it was posted 7 years ago.
Well,
I remember when I played it for my daughter the first time. That's not true. It's very, very true.
It's very accurate.
And the worst part is, this song is the... I don't remember who originally sang it. Wasn't it? Was it the Beatles? Obladee, obladee,
yeah,
life goes
yeah.
on.
I think so, yeah.
I think it was the Beatles. I just remember the show, Life Goes On, and... Corky's sister. God, dog.
Right? We all have our TV crushes.
Oh, yeah.
What was your first TV crush?
Demi Moore. St. Elmo's Fire.
Oh, okay. That was
movie, crush.
But I meant TV.
But sure.
TV crush, yeah, you know, I would say...
The one that actually... Yeah.
It was probably Corky's sister.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was a little older, though, I guess.
I can't stand her now. Alyssa Milano.
Oh, my God, I know. Yeah. There's some things...
What about you, Karen? Who was your...
Ricky Schroeder.
Well, oddly enough, that was a lot
spoons.
Of them.
Yeah.
So the wife and I had conversations years ago. Hall pass.
Yeah.
Who did you guys? Do you guys?
Oh, yeah,
have
we have
a,
hall
an
passes.
Agreed upon yeah. hall pass for celebrity.
Mine fluctuates from day to day.
Depends on who the hot Pacific exactly. Islander is out there now.
Who the?
It just so happens to always be Pacific Islanders.
Who the Jason topic Momoa. Du jour yes. is at the time.
So I'm curious: is that just Jason with orange juice or
Momoa?
Is that what that is?
Jason Mimosa is what you're talking about.
That's what, okay. Well,
he used to be Dwayne Johnson.
That home.
Oh. He used to be. I guess he's still there.
He's still Pacific Islander. Yeah.
No, I mean, he's still in the list.
Oh, oh yeah. See, we really only had one.
Oh, no, I got five.
Jesus. You know what?
Is it ever going to happen?
I take that right. back. You know who my TV one was Helen Hunt.
Oh.
So
I
as
liked
far
her.
As,
yeah.
as far as,
like
you know, that sitcom one, it was definitely yeah. Helen Hunt yeah. with...
Yeah, I know what show you're talking
can't
about.
Can't even remember the
was
name.
Mad About You or something like
Mad
that?
Mad About You, yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It kind of ruined it when she went and did Twister, though.
Really?
Yeah, I just...
I liked her even more after Twister.
Her acting's great.
Yeah.
I just... Yeah, there was something about that that just made me go, eh.
Okay. Yeah, mine was always my number
one. I know who the first one was.
Okay.
E.T.
Yeah.
Drew Barrymore.
Yeah. She's my number one.
I can really... I know it
Demi Moore was up there until lately. And then, you know, I got a few here and there.
My first movie one was definitely Demi Moore in St. Elmo's Fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on that
one. And I totally lost my virginity to her.
Yeah. And then you got to go back and watch Blame It on Rio or something like that. I think that's the name of the movie. Oof.
I remember when G.I. Jane came out, I was really kind of hesitant. It was all right.
Yeah.
But then Striptease came out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
It reignited that fire.
Oh, yes, it did.
So who would be a weird... Something. Hall pass that most people wouldn't.
Mine. Anna Kendrick.
No, that's not weird.
No?
No.
It's totally not my taste.
No. I don't
totally
even know who that is.
You have to, you got a computer.
Pitch Perfect.
Right there.
What kind of producer did you bring today?
I'm with you on Anna Kendrick. That's why I'm like, no, that's not weird.
And you know, it was a combination because she's, to
Goofy.
Me, she's.
Yeah, she's
she's
funny.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, let's see.
But it's a,
well, and she's so young, too.
It's a personality thing. And then when I found out she could sing, too. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pitch Perfect. That's why I wouldn't know her.
Well, she's been in other stuff.
Oh, she's been in quite a few other
things.
Trolls,
The Accountant.
I remember country music style.
Twilight.
Fans. I used to have this huge thing for Terry Clark.
Terry Clark. Oh,
1990s
okay, yeah.
country. And... She was at in concert at the fair, and I somehow didn't ask. I was just assigned security when she played the arena that night, and I got to walk her from her dressing room up the stairs to the stage on the grandstand. And, you know, there was some fanboying going on, but I was being professional. And walked side by side with her, and when we got to the stairs, you remember how narrow those stairs were in the grandstands? She went up and I walked behind her and I went, wow.
Hello.
No.
Well,
uh-uh.
Was the opposite, huh?
The departure was definitely nothing like the approach.
Yeah, okay, well. Yeah, take the good and the bad.
There was nothing. It wasn't good or bad. It was just not. I think she sat on the back of her legs. she just... No butt at all.
I can't remember her name, but she's another one of my hall passes. She was on that show, Las Vegas.
Oh, which one? There's several girls on Las Vegas.
Which one. Come
pretty
on.
Pretty darn hot there.
The little...
The short girl?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember her name now, but man, she's hot.
TV show. Hang on.
When she shows you the picture, you're going to go, oh, yeah, okay, I get it.
My wife's is Gerard Butler.
Yeah.
And
back then, I can see it, but now it's like.
It really kind of started during, back in the early 2000s on a Christmas Eve.
That one?
Yes.
We weren't able to get everything done in a timely manner. So we were up pretty late Christmas Eve. And my wife turned the TV on. This was back when I was unable to sleep without the TV on. And she put on Phantom of the Opera, and we both had never seen it at that point, and we both ended up staying up until 3 o'clock watching it. I was just enamored by it. And the girl who plays Christina Daae played in... wow, how did I lose that? Frank, Lip, Chicago.
Shameless,
right? She's the big sister.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Gorgeous, and she's got an amazing voice. But that was when Gerard Butler came into it. Well, as you know, Gerard Butler's put on a little bit of weight.
Yeah.
Or a lot of weight. And I was joking with her, I don't know, about a year or so ago. And I said, Zaya, look what you'd have wound up with. And she turned and looked at me and went, and?
He's rocking a dad bod, so.
I was like, wow, did you just say I got ugly and fat? She said, well, then she says, no, you're not fat anymore. Yeah, ouch. So.
No, you're just ugly.
Well, I've always technically.
Bear's other one from Las Vegas is Vanessa Marcil.
Let me see who that is. I don't know that I'm familiar
with. It's an older TV show, but she's done a few other things since then.
Right.
And she still looks amazing.
I can't get this to.
I see who it is.
Bigger. Right here.
Was that her on the right that was moving?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the funny thing. She's gorgeous, by the way. The reason Anna Kendrick doesn't fit my mold typically is for a few reasons. A, she's white.
True.
And she's not got a whole lot of meat on her bones.
Okay. No, she is kind of skinny.
She is skinny, and that's definitely, I like to know you're there.
Yeah, no. I follow her on one of the socials. Just because I want to see the, you know.
Yeah, she's amazing.
What's her name? Emily Blunt is another one of my.
Emily Blunt is very, very gorgeous.
And she's obviously, I got a chance because her husband's, you know, kind of John Krasinski.
No, oh, really?
That's her husband.
Really? So you're kind of in that plain category.
I got a chance.
I always wondered how difficult it would be.
I said that about Drew Barrymore when she was married to Tom Green.
Fuck, anybody had a chance at that point. Do you realize that he was on Rogan recently, and he's not anywhere close to as foul as he used to be, but he's still as dry and plain and hilarious.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I didn't know.
I could not stand him back in the day.
I hated him when he was on MTV.
Yeah.
He and Barat, same thing.
Oh, Sasha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, and oh my God. I can't. The fact that Barat was such a huge hit, like a cult hit.
Yeah.
And the fact that I watched it twice, I was really ashamed of myself. And then he did the second similar one to it. And I was like, this guy's completely just
out there,
and very what's the word? Sometimes he's downright ugly. Some of the things he says. But then have you seen some of his other movies?
Mm-hmm.
He's an amazing actor.
He is actually.
He's a good actor.
You know, before the movie was released, he was up to play as Freddie Mercury.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was up to play, and they'd gone through all the production, pre-production stuff and did all the test shots, but he wanted to portray Freddie the way he wanted to portray him, which is, you know, being who Freddie
was. Sacrilegious a little bit?
No.
Oh, just being
truthful.
Gregarious.
Yeah, and flaming.
Yes.
At times. And he wanted to do an honest depiction of Freddie Mercury, and the studio shut him down. And then we got, you know, what's his name? Sam Raimi or whatever his name
is. I'm telling you what, that guy.
He did a great job. Don't get me wrong.
And he's a great actor.
And he did a great job in that movie. And the movie was okay. You know, it was pretty good. No, it was pretty good.
I bought the DVD.
You know, I'm not knocking.
Right.
It was
right.
It was good, and he did a great job in it.
Hugh Jackman surprised the shit out of me. In The Greatest Showman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not know, and I believed that I'd seen the movie two or three times before I actually
paid attention. Rami Malek is his name, I'm sorry.
Malek, yeah. Rami, right?
Yeah, Rami.
Yeah. I didn't know until like the third time I think we had watched, because the wife, of course, bought the DVD as well, and we'd watched it, and I realized he did the vocals.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, damn, boy.
Yeah. And well, and Gerard Butler can sing.
Gerard Butler, he sang in the Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah. He has his own rock band in Australia. His own,
does
I
he?
Wouldn't say rock, but it's, you know.
It's a band?
Yeah.
Heavy
but
D?
I think they've all had
heavy G?
Heavy
their
G.
Broadway time, too, so that
right,
really.
Right,
they, yeah. They, well, and they, in Australia, they have their own Broadway.
Yeah, and, Opera and, House.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
no pressure.
They not just an opera house. They have their own little Broadway area,
right? Kind of like Broadway in New York.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay,
where they do theater, and those two guys—that's where they cut their teeth.
Oh, I didn't know that. I knew Gerard Butler had done Broadway. I didn't know he had done it in Australia. I gotta be honest. When you think of the talent that sometimes comes out of Australia, it's almost always vocal.
Yeah.
Not okay. Not always, okay. But
yeah, there's quite a bit. Yeah.
There's a lot of folks that come out of there with just amazing talent to sing or write music, and it not just, you know, mainstream radio, but you know, you're some really good pianists and orchestra folks. Not that I dig into those things, but Australia's got some wild talent. That's
yes,
for sure.
They do,
and they've got some fucked laws. Holy shit! When you build camps for COVID, something's wrong.
Yeah,
and they continue to vote for them.
Yeah. So have what movies have y'all seen lately?
None.
Ghostbusters
in the theater?
No, I haven't. The last movie I went and saw was the day the wife had her surgery.
Okay.
In August.
Oppenheimer.
And that was when I saw Oppenheimer.
That was okay. Yeah. That was a longer
than
needed to be.
It was a long movie.
Yeah.
It was good. I wouldn't say it was great. But I would watch it again. It's a good flick.
Yeah,
I was impressed with how historical it was.
Right,
how accurate it was. You know, with him using Einstein as a mm-hmm. mentor, so to speak. I thought it was pretty good.
The way they depicted it, you know, normally when they depict historical figures like that, they do it from a distance so you can't see them. And the guy who played Einstein actually did a great job.
Yeah.
The movie was good. It was long.
It was very long.
I needed that because she was having a long surgery. But like you, it was historically as why I watched it, and I was not disappointed.
No,
at all.
It was good. Like you said, I wouldn't say great, but it was definitely a learning. You know, if somebody wanted to learn a little bit about that part of our history, that'd be a good movie to
do. You remember back in the 80s when that, and I don't remember the name of it now, it was a movie about the guys, Apollo 13, I think was the name. No, that wasn't it.
Okay.
Back in the 80s.
I can't answer if you don't finish it.
I'm trying to remember the name of it, and I think it was, God, who was that?
Was it for the
Harrison Ford was in it? I think
it was a NASA stuff. Or?
It was. Yeah, it's definitely a space.
Was it way back when?
Yeah, 80s.
And they were doing the fake moon landing stuff, or is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I don't know if it was the fake moon landing. God dang it! I hate how absent minded I am. Is it like? Wasn't Apollo 13?
No, it was before that. I know which one you're talking about. The Right Stuff.
That's the one. That one,
sorry,
I've seen
it takes me a minute sometimes.
Twice, and that one was long as hell.
Too. Yeah,
good. I don't know about historical, but
yeah,
you know,
considering we're not sure.
I'm shocked that they haven't put together a Challenger type movie yet.
Oh, for that day, yeah. Right?
I'm really surprised, especially with as much emphasis as our government puts on NASA and, you know, space exploration. That was probably the second or third most historical thing next to, you know, the moonwalk.
Yeah.
The alleged moonwalk.
Yeah.
Not Michael Jackson either. yeah, so.
I saw a video of a guy making fun of Michael Jackson. Uh-huh. And he redid the words for black and white.
Oh, God.
If I'm black or am I white? You know?
I think we all had that question because when you look at, you know, Janet and LaToya and
Tito,
they're all pretty dark. Right? And then you got, well, you had.
Yeah.
I wonder if something, who knows, but I wonder if he got taunted as a kid, bullied maybe, and it made him want to lighten his skin tone.
It's possible.
Because, you know, when you look back to the Jackson 5, he was just as, I mean, had the same complexion and tone as his siblings.
Well,
and
the funny thing is when he was black.
Right.
I don't know how else to say it. He was an attractive dude.
Greatly attractive.
And then when Especially he started with all the plastic surgery yeah. and all the color changing, he went really kind of
Do
ugly.
You remember kindergarten, first grade, when that freaking jacket, that red yes. jacket, everybody had that damn thing?
Yeah, not everybody.
Almost everybody.
We're poor.
And then they had the folders with Thriller on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
We all bought into it.
We did. And we were all singing it. We're all attempting to do the dance. And then his hair caught on fire.
Yeah, that's the one I do remember. I was making jokes about that one.
Well, and
yeah.
there was, you remember when you used to jump rope and they do those little rhymes?
Yeah.
Pepsi Cola burned him up. Now he's drinking 7-Up.
Yeah.
God, we're just terrible.
I don't remember that one.
Well, you grew up in a different part of the state, so. That's
true. We did not have that one.
That's true.
All right, so movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, are you?
How good are you with your movie quotes? I know Bear's pretty good.
I'm not that good. I don't.
Can you name a movie from the movie quotes?
Occasionally.
Let's see.
I don't do very well with. It's funny is if you name that tune in one note.
Yeah, those you get.
I'm embarrassing.
I'll get you on the movie quotes. And,
I'm sure you will.
And well, let's try some.
You'd probably beat me on the music too.
Yeah.
Some music.
I'm pretty good with music.
Okay.
Generally, yeah. Overall, all
we did
genres.
Do some of those last night, and you were
yeah
doing pretty good.
I was gonna say, bitch, I got you
on the rock and roll at least.
That's all I listen to. We were talking about that last night. Is the music that I listen to because some of the songs that are turning, you know, 40 or whatever.
Oh, right, isn't that right. depressing?
It is,
right? And 35. I'm like, no, this is older than 35. That's when I was in high school.
I was listening to that in high school. I'm like, babe, do the math.
Yeah.
Crap.
Our 35th reunion is coming.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to tell her. I was like, ours is coming up.
That's well, mine this year.
You know what? Last year it was 30.
Yeah, I'm on my 35th.
93,
it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, damn
God
it.
Dang.
89 over here.
That's the year we started high school.
88 is when I started. I got in trouble, though. Remember?
I thought you got in trouble in middle school, because we started high school the same time.
It was my first year in high school I got in trouble.
Was that?
Yeah.
All right. Here's some softball movie quotes to start with. They get harder.
That's what she said.
I'll be back.
Terminator.
Yeah.
You can't handle the truth.
If you're a good man.
See, I can picture it in my head. My processing speed's not nearly as good
Tommy
as yours.
Give Tommy a chance before.
All right.
No, he's all right.
All right. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Star Wars. Gee, that one's cheating.
That was right? A New Hope. Yeah.
I wouldn't have known that because I've never seen the last three.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Jaws.
Oh, Jaws. That's right.
Here's looking at you, kid. Ooh.
I can see it.
Is that Casablanca?
That is yeah. Casablanca.
How many have you ever seen that?
Yes.
I haven't.
All right.
Look at me. I look like a movie watcher.
I see, and I'm not. When I sit at home during the day, if I don't have anything going on, I don't almost ever have the TV on.
I can't say that. I always have it on. I'm not always watching it.
Right. Well, and I used to be that way, but I just...
Not lately.
Not in the last probably 10 years.
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother.
Ooh, I don't even know that one.
Peter Pan? Oh, wait.
A boy's best friend is his mother. Is that Forrest Gump?
No.
Well, I'm not sure.
That's funny because you said that I was getting ready to say Forrest Gump.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Psycho.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Never seen it.
Psycho.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
You'll be amazed at how much I've not seen.
No, actually, I wouldn't.
Yeah, probably not.
And I'm not saying these are the famous quotes. They are just some famous quotes from the movies. Well,
that quote is famous because of the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Gotcha.
Pop quiz hotshot.
Speed. Oh, shit. Sorry.
I would have. I've literally watched it one time.
Here you go, Tommy. This one's for you. Toto, I've got a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Jesus, what am I? I'm not retarded.
Well, I don't know.
Fully. Do you remember the remake of this?
The Wiz?
The Wiz with
Michael Jackson.
Diana Ross, Michael Jackson. Yeah. They put a star-studded cast in that. And I still remember a couple of the songs from it, which is totally embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like the Tin Man one where he was pour some oil on me.
Our first movie that went woke, huh?
You know what? You're right.
That was the first Netflix adaption, anyway.
All right. Welcome to the party, pal.
Oh, I don't know. It's a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie.
You know what's funny? It's during the...
You know when I said that. Yes, I know you know it.
During the Christmas season, my I don't know how this happened, but my kids and my wife both. My wife has a Grinch obsession. Mm-hmm. She will watch any animated version of the Grinch.
Okay.
She'll watch the movie over and over and over again. My son has it with National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
That's a good one.
I'll watch it over and over and over again. My daughter has a mix of both.
Shitter's full.
Yeah. My daughter has a mix of both. And I don't.
And yours is this one?
It's one of my favorites. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can.
So what is it? Tell everybody.
The Christmas Story?
No, this is not the Christmas Story.
Welcome to the party.
Which, not that one I don't.
Die Hard.
Oh, Die Hard. See, I was talking about the Christmas Story.
Christmas Story is a good Christmas movie, though.
That's what that age-old argument, is it a Christmas movie?
It is.
Well, it is. 110%.
Right. For us guys that like action movies, that's our Christmas movie, yeah.
You Shall Not Pass.
Oof. Harry Potter? I don't fucking know.
I'm lost.
You're in the right realm of things.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. Yes.
I tried to say that to a turd earlier. It was like, no, I'm gonna.
I'm coming, bro.
Not in a good way either.
No.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
Sean Connery, cotton in his mouth for the... Not Sean Connery.
You're right. You're on the right path. I know where you're going.
He had cotton in his mouth.
Marlon
Brando. And it's... God dang it. See, I don't...
Godfather.
Yeah. I was close. God dang it. Whatever.
You have chosen wisely.
Oh, I got this one.
Go ahead.
It's Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Yep.
Good Lord. I didn't know you watched that many movies.
We watch a lot of movies. It's what do you think we did on the truck for 7 years?
It's funny, Grove.
That too.
In Monday's episode, we talked about when I had done a TV stint for a weather thing. Mm-hmm. And I'd mentioned that the audio guy's name was Don, right? Well, the producer, who's the guy who tells everybody what buttons to push, what cameras to bring up, what tells the, you know, he's the overall guy. He and Don would sit in the sound booth because he was in charge of all the audio and the producer would sit, you know, in front of the board, and through our headphones, these two were constantly throwing back movie quotes.
Yeah.
Every newscast. And they'd find a way to tie that to a particular story.
That's pretty cool.
Dangerous, because they're saying it in our ears and we're on set trying not to laugh. Yeah.
That would be very distracting.
I want my $2.
He had made a joke, because this was back in about, I don't know.
Earl.
The early mid-90s. This was about 94-ish, I think. 93, 94, 95-ish. There were a lot of movies coming out about natural disasters.
Yes.
And, you told this story.
Yeah, and in my ear, Roger was the director's name. Roger and Don start going back and forth about Iceberg.
Okay.
They did an entire movie trailer during a newscast, completely unscripted, for this movie, because they were talking about some hit movie that had come out and had made all this money. And Roger goes into this diatribe of, why is it all these natural disaster movies? We should make our own disaster movie. And Don pipes up and says, yeah, we'll call it Iceberg. And they just proceed to do this entire movie trailer about this iceberg that moves about a half an inch every 10 years. And it, God, we were in tears. It was bad. Sorry. Anyway.
That's hilarious. Oh, it's coming for you. All right. Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
My wife.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me. I'm not sure.
I'm doing really good job of not doing it in the...
Yeah, well, you're...
That one is RoboCop.
Okay, yeah. I do remember that.
Never seen
it. I don't know that I could do the accents on them anyways, but I will look for you, I will find you, and I will kill you.
Taken.
I was going to ask, why did I say stolen? You know the funny thing about that guy? How does he... What is his shtick? Action adventure.
It actually is.
And it's almost exclusively where he shoots the shit out of everything.
Yeah.
One of the most anti-gun people in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Hypocrite.
Right? Right. That's why
Great actor.
Hypocrite. And he does it well.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. I'm not taking your political advice on nothing because your money is not where your mouth is.
Yeah.
No wire hangers.
Mommy Dearest.
Mommy Dearest.
See, I went somewhere completely different than that.
Something about abortion?
Yep.
Yeah, I figured as much.
All right, this one I'm not going to complete the whole quote because I won't need to.
Oh, okay.
I feel the need.
The need for speed.
Tommy got that one.
Go figure.
Well, come on. Top Gun was my first.
If you were gay, that would be your guy right there. You know?
No, it'd still be Ryan. It'd still be Ryan
and Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds. Okay.
Hell, I'm not gay and he's my... If he was like, hey, yeah, I'd be like, all right. No, that was my
I think most first... straight men would say that about Ryan Reynolds.
And if they don't, they're lying. That was my first date, Top Gun. It was at a dollar movie theater in DePere, Wisconsin.
Oh, wow.
Just a little outside of Green Bay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the girl's name, no shit, was Jenny Smith.
Huh?
We held hands.
Okay.
And you got a boner.
Not right now.
Then.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Or little time, I guess.
We rob banks.
That's what we do.
That's what we do. We rob banks.
I have no idea.
I'm not sure.
Bank robbers.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh. They robbed more than banks.
It's been a long time since I've seen that movie.
Right? All right. This one you have to tell me the first movie it was in.
First movie it was in.
The first movie it was in. Bond.
James Bond.
I don't know the first movie it was in.
007. I know the first title was James Bond.
Octopussy. Just because it's fun
Goldfinger.
Dr. No.
Dr. No. Okay. I couldn't remember which one was first.
Dr. No. They're Here.
That's E.T. Close Encounters of the Third Grade.
Third Grade.
Nope. Keep going.
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist.
I never saw that one either. This doesn't translate nearly as good as it would on video.
That was the first movie that scared the shit out of me was Poltergeist.
Really?
The first one for me was probably a Freddy movie. Yeah.
You know, mine was The Exorcist.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had one of those dreams?
We had this discussion before, but yeah, Exorcist scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, see, I haven't seen it. I've seen bits and pieces. I just...
Yeah.
I've been lately having these dreams where they're not scary dreams per se. Like there's nothing, you know, it's not like a nightmare, but I find myself in a situation that's mildly dangerous and I can't speak.
Yeah.
And I can't even open my mouth.
Right.
I'm making noise, but my lips won't even open. And
you sure you're dreaming?
Well, so hear me out. It's happened probably, I don't know, a dozen times in the last several months. And it started to bother me because when it first happened, I didn't think I was asleep.
Okay.
I'm laying there. I'm, you know, tired-ish. And you know how you'll lay there and you're not asleep yet, you know, and you're just kind of waiting for it to happen. And I'm in that phase.
You're on that.
In between.
That nice little in between. Exactly. Yeah. That feels so comfortable and nice and relaxing.
But you're aware.
But you hear stuff going on.
I'm in that phase, and suddenly I feel restrained.
You know what you're describing?
Sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
Why am I waking up in it? Right. It just drove it, like
that's
it,
usually what happens.
And I didn't realize that was a thing until recently, like a month ago. I didn't realize that was a thing.
So I had told my wife.
I always thought it was bullshit until.
I did too. Yeah. I told my wife the first few times this happened because the first time it was frightening because I was laying in the bed and all of a sudden I realized that I've got something on my face and it's the blanket, which is not like me. I don't sleep with my face covered. And so as I go to move, I can't move. And I'm physically trying to move my hands to get. So I start trying to move my neck. And I feel like I'm thrashing about.
Mm-hmm. And you're not.
And I feel like I'm completely awake. Mm-hmm. And I'm beginning to get concerned. Like, not panicked, but you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried to say something to my wife, who was laying right next to me, who was just talking to me a few minutes ago. And I can't say anything. I can make noise, but I can't get my mouth to open. I can't verbalize. And she said, well, that's kind of weird. You know, it's odd. And it happened several times. And so this past week, it bothered me to the point where I looked it up. And the best thing I could find was that sometimes you wake up or you're not fully asleep and something jars your brain, kicks you into consciousness, but your body isn't there.
Right.
That is a frightening place to be.
I can only imagine. I kind of had that once or twice when I was on the truck with Karen while she was driving, and I don't know what woke me up.
It's crazy.
But it was I couldn't move. You know, I could, and like you, I couldn't talk. I couldn't move. It worked for me. I'm not going to say it works for everyone. Is I just tried to calm yourself down, relax. Mm-hmm. And start with little things like moving your toes.
Bit my tongue.
Or that.
Not hard.
Yeah.
But enough to go, okay.
Yeah.
And then I it's almost like it's a very fast, but a progressive come out. It's not nearly as scary as it was when it first started happening, but holy shit, that's not comfortable.
No.
Right.
That's so weird.
Mine presents as... like, I think I'm awake, and I want to get up, and I feel like I'm raising my head up, and the rest of my body says, no, this is not happening, and I have to lay back down. I don't know that I actually raised my head up or not, but my body's like, you are not moving. It's not happening.
When there's one of the times early on when this had started a few months ago, and I figured out where it started, and I probably have some idea as to why, I was scared. It was like the second or third time it happened. And I remember very clearly trying to say my wife's name. I couldn't get my mouth open, so I'm hollering it as best as you can without opening anything.
Right.
And I somehow came out of it. That there was nothing covering my face. I lifted my arms up. I could move. And I said, didn't you hear me? And she said, well, you were kind of making a little noise. But I said, I was yelling. She said, no, you weren't.
Mm.
Whew. Yeah. So I started a new sleep med.
Okay.
Yeah, stopped taking that.
Yeah.
I stopped taking it regularly.
Okay.
The doctor was like, you need to take this every night. So you're getting into a routine. And then
I'm not liking the side effect, doc.
Every few months, right? Stop for a week and only take it as needed. And then that was probably the first... second month.
Yeah, I'd rather be insomniac instead of dealing with that.
I called him and I said, look, I'm not going to take this every day. He's like, well, you know, I understand that is kind of concerning, but that's not one of the things on the list.
No.
Well, I don't care.
Yeah.
It wasn't on the list for Ambien that you'll get in the car and drive to the store either, but a lot of people were doing that.
Yeah. Right. The person I was talking to about this said it was recommended to them that you just go with it. Don't try to get up and do anything.
I tried to do that last night.
You just go with it.
Tried to do that last night.
And that'll get you out.
I got too frustrated. It's just a weird feeling. And like I say, the first few times it happened, it was scary because I'd never experienced it before. Right. I wasn't sure what it was. I thought it was just a bad dream.
My luck is I'm going to have to really pee and this happened. And...
Oof.
Right?
At my age, pee in the bed.
Yeah, isn't it? That's so weird that... That used to be a protected class, so to speak. You had a defense mechanism that would prevent you from trusting the urinals in your dreams.
Yeah.
As we get older, that defense mechanism
this looks like a great place
goes
to do
down
it.
A little ways.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
There's never a good place to piss in your dream. No. Nope. Ever.
Yeah, I've gotten to the point where if I had to pee in my dream, dude, you got to get up. You're dreaming. You need to get up and go.
I haven't had one in the dreams in a while, but right. Man, I'm telling you, all of a sudden you hit about 45, 46. Now you're up twice at night and you're like, what the hell?
Yeah. You actually have to actively stop, like you were a kid or you did with your kids.
Stop what you're doing.
Stop drinking at this time of night.
Mine's 2:30 in the afternoon.
Right.
It's funny, though, because if I drink soda, I'm fine. If I drink tea, I'm mostly okay. But I drink a 16-ounce glass of water.
Oh, yeah.
My night's ruined.
Huh. You saw my water jug.
Right.
Imagine how what I go through.
Nope. I used to drink a ton of water until that started happening. I was like, I cannot do this acrobatic bullshit every night trying to sleep.
Well, and for males, we have that, like you said, the defense mechanism. Now, at our age, we figured out how to work with that.
Right. You can position yourself in some strange ways. I found the best ways since the toilet's next to the shower.
Yep. That's what I was just going to
turn sideways.
Yep. Turn the shower on for
me. I'm glad you find humor in this.
Because I have no idea what that experience is like. I'm just laughing at the description of it.
Most of the male listeners will understand what
I'm
talking about.
All of them will. Yeah.
Well, there might be one that's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
They might sit to pee. Yeah. It happens.
But you get that moment, and you have to either bend it.
Hurts.
Yeah, it hurts, or you just...
Adapt and overcome.
You just step into the shower and, you know.
I'm glad we have a walk-in shower for that very reason.
Same here.
You just slide the door over and go, rinse the wall before you take a shower.
I just turn it on and rinse it real quick.
I will, too, unless it's 3:30 in the morning and I'm
the
dead
beauty
sleep.
Of sitting down.
I guess it has its advantages.
Either that, either you do those or you stand there and you wait for, because you have to actually... convince yourself to
go away.
Be able to.
Go away, buddy. We got something to do here.
You're in the wrong thought process here. I want to know who made the rule that men have to put the toilet seat down. Am I the only one annoyed by this?
No, I'm not annoyed by it anymore. I guess I was just trained.
I was too. But
and now I have to make sure everything's down.
I do too.
Our rule is the lid has to be down also, so I also have to lift up something and put it back down.
That's the compromise we've
the
come with.
The irritation of this, man always leave the toilet seat up. Well, we put it down then. Don't sit on it when it's up.
Before we made
most
that.
Women don't look before backing.
In the middle of the night.
If men would band together and say, we are not going to put the seat down this week, maybe it would get some attention. It would bring some light to this problem.
I just remember how militant my mom was about.
I remember getting smacked upside the head once or twice.
So it just kind of stuck with me. And then, you know, ex-wife, she was pretty anal about it.
I think that's like some of the things that are out there that men have to. No, it's fine the way it is. Why can't you lift the lid? Like, how did somebody at some point, and it's been a long time, said it's the men's job to put the seat down?
Yeah, I don't know when that happened.
I don't sit to pee. I respect that you do. But it's not fair.
Right. Well, that's why we came up with our agreement with closing the...
Yeah, sure, that way somebody's still got to...
Yeah, everybody's got to lift something, you know? So.
Well, and that's for hygienic purposes, but...
In all seriousness, I've... Always, I don't even consciously even think about it anymore. I trained raised my son the same way, you know, put the seat down. It's just respect. But it's not right. Like, men have all the rules to follow.
You know, when we get money, I'm building a house that has my bathroom.
Your own shitter.
I'm going to have a urinal next to my shitter.
So I always thought, I saw a keg urinal, mm-hmm. and that's my goal. For my bathroom. when I...
When my bathroom.
Yeah, when I get...
Yes, I will be responsible for cleaning it.
When I'm responsible for cleaning the toilet anyway, because let's face it, if you've peed on the outside of the toilet, you have other things going on.
Yeah, that's true.
So I see that as the right thing to do.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
But
I don't do it all the time, and I don't do it on a regular, but I have, and I will.
You get a dribble or something. You
can't I will clean the toilet.
I find myself even, it's so, I don't even think about it anymore.
I remember one time being at your house, sorry, Tommy, to cut you off, is watching your wife clean the bathroom, and she's in there gagging while she's cleaning the toilet. I'm like, was it that bad?
You remember having two kids, two boys, right?
Yes.
One was still just as bad.
And she's in there.
My wife has got the weirdest gag reflex.
Well, you know.
You see a moco? I've never triggered
it. Actually, I have seen her do with the mocos.
Yes. Yeah. Mocos will blow, even talking about it. She will just, which is so bizarre because she works in pediatrics.
Right. So she's dealing with mocos all the time.
She got to suck something. Then my daughter bought one of them.
Nose suckers?
No, not the squeeze bulb.
Oh.
I don't know who thought this was a good idea. And I imagine this is how it used to get done way back in the day out of necessity. But it's a little plug that you put up the baby's nose, and there's a tube attached to it.
Kind of like a syringe?
Yep, except there's no syringe attached to it. Okay. Your job is to use your mouth to... Oh, God, no. Now, apparently, there's some... There's some dual valve to prevent backflow, apparently. But...
That's enough. What other movie quotes do we have?
I think we lose... We've got to come up. We've got to just find a way to get to the video.
Yeah.
Because these would be so much more funny if you could see the looks on our faces.
All right, well, now
because it doesn't translate in audio as well.
Yeah.
I'm looking up men's things now.
I've looked at your face several times when she said it, and I've had this weird, like, the fuck? And you just, you.
You can see the light bulb going on?
The entertainment that I bring to him with my facial is really something to behold.
It is true. I'm waiting for him to go, what the fuck? That's a quote?
I have a very guilty problem that my face gives me away in so much. Now I can play poker with the best.
Yeah.
Of them. I really can. But my wife, when she's really pissed at me, and especially, you know, and listen, in the moment, I get it. It's that important. It's really, you know, that's what's big for her at that moment. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, are you fucking serious? Like, I have done way worse than that, and you've never even thought
anything.
And
you cannot hide that face when that goes through your head. And you're just, that look on your face is like, you can't be fucking, you got to be.
I raise my eyebrow or something, and then all that does is just fires her up even more.
Yeah, well, you don't do it just to her. I've seen you do it to me hundreds of millions of times.
You should have seen me in my previous career when I would have to sit across from somebody.
Oh, I can imagine.
Oh, my God.
I got that look. Too. I've been told that when they tell me, and I obviously know they're full of shit,
right.
Or you know they're just way off. I have that same kind of look of you know.
You should write fiction, but you got to do a far better job at convincing people. I fell into a TikTok hole, fell off the wagon last week. Not horribly. I wasn't to the point of the hours, but there were times it felt like it. And it's funny how one video that you might watch all the way through completely changes your algorithm.
Oh, God.
And I fell into the touchy-feely side of TikTok for about 45 minutes the other day.
Yeah.
And there was a question that kept coming up in this touchy-feely. And it got me to thinking. And I thought, well, that's interesting. The question itself is pretty mundane. But then as I started to think about it, I came up with a bit of a different response than a lot of people did. So I'll ask you guys. Excuse me. I'll ask you guys.
Okay.
You find out today that you have 14 days to live. That's it.
No, I didn't choose that one on those questions.
You have 14 days to live. Who do you tell and why?
Wow. I think the only person I would tell would be my wife. I think that'd be it. Everybody else, it would be a surprise.
At surface level, I was in the same spot. Surface level, I was at the same spot.
But
you know me and my overthinking.
Right. Well, and I'm kind of there, too, when I would make an effort to reach out to everyone that I held near and dear to me to be able to see them so that they would have the opportunity to say, hey, I got to see them before they passed.
That's logical.
I don't know that I would tell them because I don't want a fake.
Yeah.
We care about you when no, you don't care about me.
So this is what derailed me. What you just said, because I went right with you. Well, I'm definitely telling the wife.
Right.
Probably telling the family, family.
And I'm struggling with just telling her.
Right, because now it sets her up for an emotional problem.
Right. And trusting her to keep a secret. No offense.
No, understand.
Hey,
that's a huge thing. That's what I'm saying. You know,
I get it.
I would just make it the effort. If I didn't tell her, my effort would to be get everybody that I hold close.
Right.
Then there's people that claim they're close and then they're not. So they're, you know, if I don't visit you and then all of a sudden 2 weeks later I'm gone.
Oh,
you know now why I didn't see you.
My overthinking ass went and drug. I mean, I went total philosopher on this. And I did. And I think I feel comfortable to say I would tell nobody. Mm. And here's why. Right.
Okay.
Here's why I wouldn't tell anybody. If you have to have a reason to show me that you care and to prove your love to me or express your love to me, if that's the only time that you can do that is when you know the time's near, how genuine was it to begin with?
Exactly. It's kind of like that clip we played, was it last week? About 5 minutes of is when people speak good of a man.
Yeah. You get 45
minutes. It was last
minutes.
Week, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I felt guilty for thinking that way.
No, I don't.
I had a problem when I first moved up here because I didn't know anybody. Mm-hmm. Like I literally had you guys and you know, Mary and Jeff as well. And then I had acquaintances.
Right.
Not people that I would necessarily not hang out with. I mean, I would.
But it's not people you think of right away to go have.
Right.
A
it's not, hey, you know, I just need.
Want to hang out?
Yeah, I don't need to talk. I'm not feeling. I just want to hang out. You know, even if we don't do shit.
Yeah.
There's just not a lot of that. And then I got to thinking about it more and more, and I thought, you know, if I have to tell you that this is the end, and you want to wait until that moment to come, do I really want it?
Right.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Part of my life, exactly.
And that's that took me into a darker spot. Not dark per se. But it took you into this introspection place where you start to go, who is
on my list?
On my list.
Yeah.
And you realize if you really think about it objectively, and you take your emotion and feeling out of it, we don't, as a human species, probably have a very big list. I would venture a guess that I would say
I may be one hand. I have that many people.
Not including family.
No, that's
including.
Okay, maybe two hands, but right, my immediate circle, and then maybe a few other people.
I think you're probably right. I think, and when you, if you look at other people, these very popular people, you know,
it's the same thing. Their circle isn't that big either.
Just because when you see them at the party and there's everybody around them.
Yeah. That's what annoys me when somebody passes away, some entertainer or famous person passes away, you have everybody and their uncle coming out of the woodwork saying, oh, this is such a great person.
When's the last time you got just called?
The only one
said,
I want to hear from is his wife and his kids. Right. Shut up.
When's the last time that you reached out and said, hey, how you doing? Yeah, and look, I'm guilty too. I'm not calling anybody out.
Yeah, you're not a great communicator.
No, I am the worst communicator. I can communicate via text, and sometimes that's sketchy.
Yeah.
And I know that. And I I'm better than I used to be,
true.
Which is scary because I still suck at it. And I know I do. But I also know that I'm an overthinker and that if I get on a soapbox, I get tough to get off of it. So I'm trying to balance that. Mm. Obviously, I'm losing that balance. But I thought, how...
You're not very balanced.
No, I'm not. How do we as a society... Because everybody's... just as a very generic statement. Everybody's chasing the next thing.
Yes.
And I was always guilty of this for a long time and probably up until the last year and a half. And it's odd that something shitty has to come to make you think about these things. We always chase the dollar. Mm-hmm. We always chase the...
We're always chasing something.
Yeah. So we get into these modes of, all right, we're going to work really hard and we're going to get to here. Mm-hmm. Are we enjoying what we're doing to get to there?
Good question.
You know what I mean? I got to my goal.
Yeah.
But what did I leave in my wake?
Right.
By ignoring it because I was so focused on it. And then what do we do when we get to that next, when we get to that goal? Mm-hmm. We don't even relish in the goal.
Yeah.
We set another goal. And I'm not saying that's wrong.
No, that's the way everything should be, in my opinion. You set goals and you hit them and you keep moving forward.
But we miss celebrating the non-celebratory moments.
Right.
Sitting and having a conversation, this sounds really off, but sitting on the front porch in the evening and just watering the grass while you sit there and not say anything.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's the old, maybe it's the cancer that the wife had that kind of made me start wondering, what do I got to do to change what I've done? And what what I've become. Because, you know, like I said, when I first moved up here, it was just you. You know, it was, again, the acquaintances. But again, those aren't people that you're going to call at 2 o'clock in the morning. Or that they're going to call you at 2 o'clock in the morning because I'm in a lonely moment here. You know, and why do we... Like, it's like we set ourselves up to be, we talked about this on Monday too a little bit. You see the TV family.
Yeah. Or it's not, we know it's not real, but.
That doesn't exist. You know, when somebody fucks up on TV, whether it's a show or a movie or whatever, there's a little bit of drama and there's a little bit of tension. And then somebody comes in and gives this little speech and woe is me. And, you know, I've realized and opened my eyes I'm a changed person before the last commercial.
Yeah, I was going to say, by the end of the hour of this show, which is set in a day,
right?
It's all fixed. Yeah, no, it didn't
How
work
many
that
times
way.
Have you had an argument with your significant other?
Oh.
You gave that little, I don't know, I screwed up speech, and this is what I'm doing, and yet, and how many times have they went, oh, and then put their arms around you? Bullshit. You admit to that, you say that, and then their typical response, generically... Yeah, okay. Till next time. And then they're still mad. Like, it just takes a few words to unpiss people off. That's not real.
No, it's not.
Like, I've been stuck on this is us.
Yeah.
We talked about it before we started recording. It's a feeling movie.
Feeling show, yeah.
It's
there's a one that Karen made me watch for a little while, and it's a good one too. It's Million Little Pieces or something like that.
Million Little Things.
Million Little Things. If you get a chance to watch it, it's similar to
the first two seasons were phenomenal, and they were heavy.
Yeah,
heavy.
The cool thing was is they didn't fix everything in each episode. It was a season long kind of fix of
every week was another major social topic.
Yeah.
So it was heavy. It was good.
So you're speaking of social topics, everything's going to that now. So like This Is Us, you know, there's a black male who gets adopted mm-hmm. into a white family. And as a kid, everything was, you know, different. But he was mostly happy. And then as he got to an adult, of course, they threw the George Floyd thing in there and the COVID thing. And his wife's already woke. But he becomes, and when I say woke in this sense, I don't necessarily mean progressive liberal type woke.
Yeah, yeah.
He becomes more aware. And then, you know, like there's a fight with his white twin brother or triplet brother. And he accuses his brother of having racism because he didn't do enough or whatever the case was.
Right.
Yeah, that's not real life, though. You know, sure, they give you some good pointers that, yeah, we do need to forgive. And, yeah, well, forgiving's hard.
Yeah, it is.
Forgiving is hard.
It yeah. is. Some people have the capacity to do it and do it in a relatively short period of time.
Right.
And then there's other people that they don't even know what that means. That they're never going to forgive.
And I've worked on that piece because I know I'm stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife is stubborn as well. I know that's weird, right?
No.
And there'll be times we come to this impasse.
Yeah.
Because we're so stubborn that she'll say, well, you did this and you did this and you did this. And this is why I reacted that way. And instead of hearing the things that I did and realizing, knowing full well that I probably did most of that without ever even thinking about it, and there was no yeah. malice or intent meant to it, but it affected her in a particular way. Instead of saying, yeah, I'll be more conscious of that and I'll work towards that, what do? I turn around and piss on her back. Well, you do this, this, and this.
Right.
And it just becomes this...
Yeah,
this world. And that's the way, you know, a lot of us stubborn folks end up living for a while.
Well, and you get a quote unquote attack. Not that it was an attack, but you know,
you feel attacked.
You have your faults brought to your attention. Yeah. The first reaction is to defend yourself and to.
I did not realize
re-attack.
How big of a mistake defending yourself is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm guilty of it. I'm one of the worst ones about defending myself.
And that's a natural reaction.
But
yeah.
I'm also one of the best people, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but I'm one of the best people when I realize that I overreacted or I fucked up or whatever to apologizing and then leaving it at that.
See, and I'll own it, but I also have this other problem, and you know, I'm not airing dirty laundry per se, but like when the wife and I have a spat, I'm pretty quick to try and get out of that tense moment and to... Even if I don't feel that I was entirely wrong, I will just look. It's easier for me to admit what I know I did, and you know, say, "Look, I'll work on that and I'll do better." Because to me, I'm sorry is such an overused word in this in today's day and age. I'm sorry doesn't mean as much as a racist does.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't have the value that it used to.
Yeah.
So the way I try to do that is I acknowledge what mistakes I've made, and I try to give them at least an outline of what I'm going to do to try to prevent that from happening again. Too often, I'm sorry. 10 minutes later, I'm watching them do the same thing. And I've been guilty of that.
That's not what sorry is about.
Right. Sorry is just a cop-out way of saying, okay, you're right, I'm wrong, I don't want to fight. Yeah, I got caught.
Yeah.
My bad. And, you know.
Yeah.
But it
doesn't fix
that. Doesn't fix the problem unless we address it within ourselves. And being stubborn makes that even worse.
What annoys me a lot is in my life, I have to apologize for certain things and certain things that have been said. Certain things I did, some things I've said. Apologize for them. Try to fix it. But they keep moving the bar. And that pisses
like
me off
even more.
Like
you physically changed your life and you're not that person anymore.
Right.
But yet it can't.
They can't get past where I did back then. And they move the bar. You need now.
And then
as soon as you need to do this.
As soon as you fix this thing that was such a huge thing that it made us fall out of circuit for a while.
Right.
Now I fixed that, or I am in the process of
working on
it.
Yeah.
And instead of acknowledging, hey, thank you for acknowledging that and you know, blah, blah, blah. But instead, like you said, perfect. The mother's this too, since you're in the, basically since you're already cleaning.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you let me work on this thing here first?
Yeah.
Which one of these is the most important?
Right.
We're such assholes as human beings and we're so selfish.
Oh yeah.
Okay,
ahead,
so knowing all of these things and having all this reflection on human beings and stuff, during those 14 days, let's go back to your question, during those 14 days, do you change your behavior? If you're not going to tell anybody.
I don't think you can't.
Do you change your behavior?
I don't think you can't change it.
Do you give people an opportunity without knowing the details to reach out and, hey, we can mend fences now. If that needs to be done, we can spend some time together. I'm going to call you up. My dad is not a person who, he's not a communicator. Mm. We call mom. She tells us everything's going on with the whole family. And you know through that. And you know dad's always there, but he's not the one that reaches out. I've had my dad reach out to me twice in my lifetime. And one was when my mom was diagnosed with cancer. And he called me and he asked for help.
Sure.
Which dad never does that. I quit my job the next day. We were living in Pueblo at the time. I quit my job the next day and I came up to help. I'm like, because dad, you know. So are there people in your lives where if you did reach out to them, would they know that something is up and say, I'm here for you. Let's do whatever we're going to do for.
The people I'm thinking of, the people in my life, yeah, I think they would. Something's going on.
If I reached out like that, I couldn't
go level up knowing that I hadn't tried to fix some of these relationships or say goodbye, if you will.
Or give
full disclosure. There's only a handful of relationships that I would find. When you say mend the relationship, I've probably either already tried or already written it off. I hate using that term, but...
No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Because everybody who's close to me, I would obviously make certain that... Because, look, we're all guilty of this once in a while.
Hey, let's go out to dinner, even, you know, something as simple as that.
Once in a while, it's just human nature, we reminisce on that time I got screwed over, that hurt my feelings.
You don't really always remember the good ones. Right. You always remember the bad ones.
Decked you and laid you out cold, you know, whatever.
That person's not one of the people I'm calling.
Right.
Okay.
So,
no.
When we do, human beings are just assholes.
Yeah.
Which is, you think you knew that, but you don't really fully appreciate it until you get older and you realize I've been wearing rose-colored glasses for far too long.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we were fortunate enough. We realized that a lot earlier on in our lives than some. But then on the same hand, you've got people who aren't assholes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Who are genuinely good people. And I truly believe there's more of those people than there are of the assholes. Unfortunately, the assholes just stand out more.
Right. They make more noise.
Anybody who is not that close to me, if I wouldn't hear from them in 2 weeks, I'm either A, good in knowing that they understand that we're in a place.
Right. That's just where our relationship
is.
It ended. That's where we are. That's the, you know.
And those who are close, they're going to be close.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and.
Same here.
You would not be able to not change, I don't think, are and what you would do in that situation, because you'd want to bring everybody close and get as much squeezing and loving and all of that out of the way so that they felt okay when you left to know.
Yeah.
That it's never enough at that point.
No.
But it's when they closed their eyes, we were in a great spot.
Yeah, yeah. Along on this same line, I came across a video that I shared with Karen last night. Everybody needs three friends. At least three friends, okay?
I think we saw the same video.
did we?
I'm sure.
Because the first friend is the truth teller.
Yep.
The one that will call you out on your bullshit, tell you the truth, even though it hurts. The number two is your confidant, the one that you can lean on, that you can tell stuff to, that you can...
Your ride or die.
And then the last one is your ride or die, the one that you can call at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, I need your help. Don't ask me any questions. And that person tells you, I'll be right there.
On my way. Yeah.
and it's very rare for one person to be all three. It's actually pretty rare. And I, and yeah. Karen asked me that, and, she's like, so, you know, basically.
He says, well, 2 out of 3 is not bad. I'm like, well, which 2 am I?
I'm not calling you at 3 a.m.
I don't believe that many spouses, if somebody were answering that question, you know, who are my 3, yeah. or I don't believe many people would have their spouse as that one that matches all 3.
I don't know that there's anyone that does match all 3.
No. Tommy and I, Tommy is close.
Okay. Well, you guys have a rare relationship.
We do. We absolutely do.
He's close.
But if I think about my closest friends, mm-hmm. other than Bear, they don't check all 3.
Right.
But you have one of each.
I know that they've got a couple of those qualities, you know, where there's somebody who I know without a shadow of a doubt, if I picked up the phone and said, hey,
right,
they'd be here.
Right.
I may not feel like I can tell them anything in the world and get their honest opinion and feedback back.
Right.
And that's okay because, like you said, you piece that together. So for somebody, for somebody's spouse to be all 3, I think would be an incredibly rare find. Because like Bear was saying, I wouldn't want to wake my wife up and inconvenience her with something that may really truly not be anything, but to me in that particular moment it's everything,
right?
And to inconvenience a spouse, I think we're all probably,
would you want to implicate your spouse in burying the body?
Well, the cool part is as long
no, that's
as
why you call me
is as long as your spouse doesn't take part in any of that, but they know it all, they don't have to testify.
Okay.
So yeah. that's
kind of where that right there is why I wouldn't call you at 3 in the morning. Because you would know about it, because you're my confidant.
You know? I don't want to implicate you.
But I'm calling Tommy to go help me dispose of the body.
Yeah.
You want to make a trip to Wyoming?
Right.
That might be different, though, from a woman's perspective.
Absolutely is. I would hope so.
I think that Bear checks, 2 of the 3, but he would be my call at 3 in the morning.
I'm that guy for everybody, it seems like. Just teasing.
Right? Depending on whose body it was, maybe it's Tommy I'm calling.
Well, wow, that would cause some really weird.
Wait a minute. I feel threatened.
He just got it.
Wait a minute. He'd be like that girl in the city council meeting last week. Dumb bitch.
No, I didn't just got it. I was just letting that pause.
I know.
Just let that hover right there.
If I disappear, y'all, I'm just saying.
You know,
your wife also knows how to drive
Karen.
A truck.
She knows a lot of empty spaces in this
about,
country.
That's the thing about women and today's media environment. More women listen to true crime.
Oh, yeah.
Husband spats, Lifetime, for fuck's sake.
We were talking about that last week.
Yeah, you don't want to piss a woman off. I just saw a thing the other day where this lady spent 4 years
planning,
trying to accomplish. She was putting bleach in the man's coffee pot.
Oh, good Lord.
I saw that one, yeah.
And they were living overseas somewhere when he finally figured it out. And for whatever reason, he didn't think maybe we should do well. It turns out he wanted her to feel the wrath of our justice system instead of Germany's, because apparently Germany's wouldn't have been as cool.
No.
And so he brings
we're a little
her
meaner here.
Yeah.
But that being said, we're not as mean as some of the other countries.
No doubt about that.
Was it Vietnam, you said, that the guy got put to death or death penalty for fraud?
Yeah, it was one of those Indonesian.
Vietnam.
It was Vietnam, yeah.
There's China just sentenced a guy to death for, what was it? It was something so mundane that wouldn't even garner jail time here, but they're putting him to death over it. It's going to drive me nuts. I'll have to look it up. But it's just weird when you look culturally and you look at, God forbid, the gender, how we all have different outlooks. I mean, you know, masculine versus feminine when you're looking at true crime.
Mm-hmm.
Men may listen to it for very different reasons than women do. Women are looking for ideas. Men are going, I never thought of that.
Well, I'm just, not just ideas, but it's okay, well, yeah, what not to do.
Yeah. when you
look, or if you do it and you they suspect you, just play this way instead of that way.
If you look at men versus women, who knows more useless trivia?
Me.
Men.
Oh.
Men generally. You know, men typically know random, useless facts.
Yeah.
Women tend to know things that matter. And very intimately, too. It's amazing. Humans are just, we're weird people. That's why the gorillas, I don't believe in the evolution thing.
Oh, you don't?
At all. Think about this. It makes sense when you put it on a chart and you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But if that were the case, wouldn't there still be some monkey men out here?
There would be at least evidence of.
And we don't have any of that. We got some skulls with people with big heads, but cripe, some people have birth defects. I've got a huge head.
I say that, mine's not tiny. So.
My head is not proportioned to my body. When I have a 7 5/8, I think, is where I'm at. It's a huge head. I had a cowboy hat custom made for my head, and the dude who was measuring it went, good God. I said, yeah, I've heard it's a big. He says, it's not that it's a big head. He said, I see heads this size all the time on dudes that are built like brick shithouses, yeah, you know? Like
6'9".
Not a guy who's 5'9 on a good day, weighing $175 if he's wet. Well, I wish I was at $175, but makes me feel good to say it, though.
Right.
The Chinese death sentence was given to a blogger.
That's right.
For espionage related case, but he's been given a suspended death sentence.
Don't do it again or we'll kill you.
It means you're in jail for 2 years, and if you make it through those 2 years, then it's just a life in prison.
Yeah, you don't sentence. Want China's yeah. life in prison.
Well, you here's don't
want
to be in prison 2 years in prison.
Now,
China.
I want you to just say that again. A blogger wrote some shit that China accused him of being espionage.
Yeah, they're, yeah.
And he went to jail.
Yep.
In America.
He's an Australian blogger.
Right, that's what it was.
Yeah.
In America, a guy makes a meme.
He goes to prison.
And he gets put in prison.
Right.
What a fucking racket that is.
Careful, we're going political.
Oh, I'm just saying. I'm just strictly on the justice system. The United States system's foul.
Yeah.
You look at our federal system compared to, you know, the different states, because each state has their own thing. But if you get charged with something federal, there's a guy who I can't remember all the details, but he basically used fake identities to make money. And it was theft. When it all comes down to, instead of using the theft statute, though, the feds went after him for fraud. And then they taught, you know, the feds, they throw the book at you. Well, they threw the book at this guy. And for something he would have got maybe 10 to 12 years in a state penitentiary, they gave him almost 27 years. 27 years.
Was he stealing other people's identities, or
he was creating identities?
Okay.
Stealing social security numbers, or applying for social security numbers for people who didn't exist,
right?
But that he created.
That's
pretty ingenious.
It is, and that's less than it. In my opinion, it's less of a crime than stealing somebody's identity, living or dead.
They allege, They allege that he made off with like $26 or $28 million through the life of the scams, when he says it was probably closer to 10 or 12.
Well, we know how the government likes.
Well, yeah,
overvalue, so undervalue shit.
You look at crack cocaine. How many people are in prison for life?
Yeah,
over crack cocaine. And listen, it's a bad deal.
Here's the thing: is I didn't used to be against the 3-strike thing
mm-hmm.
that a lot of states adapted. But then I got in trouble a couple of times, and I'm like, you're telling me I'm you know, on the verge of my third? I could be facing...
Exactly.
You got to be fucking kidding me. And
some of the things...
I'm going to prison for this bullshit?
They'll give leniency in some places. And in other places, like, I'm not a huge fan of mandatory minimums. Because there are certain things... I think that each...
case by case.
Case is very unique and nuanced in its own way.
There's always extenuating circumstances.
And it needs to be looked at for this action, mm-hmm. not on the fact that, okay, you just did X and previously 45 other people did X. So based on that 45 people, you're getting Y.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
You know, this guy, Doug Mackey, who made this meme, I don't remember how long his sentence is, but it's ridiculous.
It was like 14 months or
something like that. That just, it goes to show that the system is just, it's not that it's, I mean, it is fucked, but is there a better way? That's the problem. I look at a lot of things and I like in some senses, like you were just saying, I understand the need for in certain cases. I really do. Mm-hmm. But if...
Well, and then there's other crimes that if you commit it, like murder, like rape, like child molestation, I think that should be harsh right off the bat.
Agreed. Agreed.
That way you never fucking do it again.
It's a deterrent.
Yeah.
And you know, that we give life in prison for murder... Makes sense.
Yeah. With the possibility.
Right.
But that we give 6 months work release for doing harm to children
yeah.
in a perverse way. Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but if you got a rock cocaine, boy, you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We still have people in jails and prisons for marijuana.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
I get the trafficking piece of this.
I do too.
However,
yeah.
I think over half of the states...
There are way more serious crimes out there.
I think over half of the states is legal now in some form or another.
Jail space.
Like 32 or 33 states.
It's time to just kind of say, all right, listen.
Yeah.
You know, case by case.
Yeah.
Take right. a look at if you're caught transporting, you know, 40, 50 pounds of marijuana across state lines...
Probably not personal use.
Probably not. So you're being stuck with the trafficking case. I'm sorry, you have to finish that out because mm-hmm. you broke the law, you know. So sorry, but if you got caught with a little over an ounce,
and it's your third strike,
yeah, that's bullshit. Yeah. You know,
the wonderful thing about our country, and it's also a fault of our country, is that. We have the freedom to do these things. The unfortunate piece of it is we've become a society of, I hate to use the term norm. Mm. So because you did it, they're going to get the same and you're going to get the same when it's not always the same.
Right.
It flies in the face of what the quote unquote justice system is for. Because the justice system in America, we have the most prisoners per capita than any other country in the world. And when you look at the purpose of the system is supposed to be rehabilitation, but we do nothing to rehabilitate. And unfortunately, more so what we do is we create dependency.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these people will come out of prison who've been there for a lengthy period of time. They haven't been rehabilitated.
They're institutionalized. They're going to turn around and reoffend. Because that's what they know.
They have structure in the prison system. Yeah. And we don't give a pathway for them to come out and to be successful.
Look, I'm not a fan of them being able to work out in prison. But at the same time, I understand you don't want them to be sedentary where they're, you know.
Right.
Becoming a different kind of burden on the system. Uh-huh. So I also think that should be somewhat regulated.
Right.
Don't think they should get cable TV.
Yeah, technically, they're only supposed to have access to a news source.
Well, even then, they're supposed to be, you know, it's kind of not reprogrammed, but it's supposed right. to be, you know, you can't watch certain things. I found it amazing when I was in jail that they would let us watch professional wrestling and hockey games.
Weird, right?
You're not helping me here. Yeah, you know,
all you're doing is getting that testosterone pumping.
I think that if for inmates that aren't there for life, or you know, going to be there for really extended period of time, if they're only there for 5 or 10, that you should give them the chance to educate themselves and or learn a trade, because when they get back out in the system, there's not going to be a lot of careers that they're not going to be able to go into because they have a felony.
And how many?
So if you teach them a trade, construction, whatever,
welding,
plumbing,
carpentry,
yeah, you give them a chance. And if you give them a chance and they go back out there and they get back out in the world, they have something they can do and then turn around and become a productive citizen.
Society is part of this problem too, though, because these folks, there are many prisons that have some trades, not great, but they'll have some trades. They'll have education. These folks will get out of prison and there's nobody that will hire them.
Right.
Now, you do have some second chance companies out there who will, but they're so few and far between. I remember at one point early, you know, probably my early 30s, talking to a friend at work one day, and I said, you know where there'd be money to be made is to create an employment agency that only caters to convicted felons who have, you know, got some kind of a problem in their life. Now, you know, there's some stipulations that need to be put in place. And one of the things is, first and foremost, the prisons need to do a better job at actually addressing the issues that brought them there, teaching them anger management, teaching them social interactions and things. You know, listen, we went to school for 12 years. How many times did they talk about taxes in when we were in school?
How many
times did they talk to us about compounding interest?
Yeah.
Balancing the checkbook. None of that shit came about.
Well, I had that class.
Well, that was home ec before they got rid of it.
Yeah.
You know, and we get into
But they don't have it now.
Right. Not here now. If you owned an employment
book,
right? If you owned an employment business,
bank account, whatever,
an employment service that had business owners who were willing to give convicted felons chances, and you were kind of like these other, there's chain employment agencies like personnel services where, you know, you can go. If you did a similar situation with that, I wonder what the failure rate would be without the rehabilitation piece of that being in intertwined.
I think if you educate them, one of the things would be making sure they don't go back to their
previous life
situation. You know, don't send them back to the neighborhood that they were in, because they're going to end up falling back in the trap. You know, unfortunately, you're going to have to either move them to another state or another city in the state to get themselves better.
Give them a chance.
To give them a chance, exactly.
You know, when they're cutting people out of prison and they're cutting them a check for, what, $60 or $100 or whatever it is they give them, and a bus ticket with a pair of jeans and a shirt, they're not giving them much room for. I'm not saying cut them a check for $5,000. I'm not saying that at all. But if we put them in a position. And again, sometimes a zebra's not going to change its stripes.
True.
But
that's on them, though.
Sometimes it is. Does. No, it absolutely, you're right. It absolutely is on them. But I think if they had more opportunity, if we spent as much money on doing our, at least trying to rehabilitate these folks, as we do on the welfare system, I have a hunch that we'd be needing less of the prison system overall, and it would be a long-term thing, than we would in the welfare system. The welfare system creates dependency. Well, guess what? So does the prison system.
Yeah.
It creates dependency. And when you have a prison system that is incentivized and privatized so that it is a profit-driven thing.
Yeah.
And what a lot of these people, defund the police people, are wanting to do is to privatize police. And all that is, in my opinion, is a sanctioned mob.
Yeah.
They can be bought for money, and they can be bought at a high price.
Some people would say that's the way the police force is now.
It could be described that way in some places, I'm sure.
You know, there's corrupt people in every profession.
Every profession. Firefighters, too, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah. I believe it. I mean, there's doctors who are getting, you know, paid by the pharmaceutical companies or equipment makers to push this surgery or that surgery or this pill or that
or
pill.
Medicare scams. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's corruption all over the place. And if you privatize the prison system, then they're going to make up bullshit rules and laws and stuff in the prison to keep them there longer so they can get paid for it.
Because the prison system that's privatized, has a lot of money because it's a corporation, and those corporations give to politicians to pass laws to keep people in prison so that they can continue to make money. It is, it's this circle
Fox,
jerk.
Yeah, it's the Fox Garden they announced.
Yeah, it's a circle jerk, and unfortunately, almost a, I would, if I had to give it a number, I'd say 95% of our government is a big circle jerk.
And we're the pivot people.
And we are the pivot people, but we get zero enjoyment from this.
That's for sure.
We will never, as a human, as a citizenry, we'll never get the money shot. Ever.
Ew.
I suppose that's probably
a bonus. Good place.
You know, we talk about going to video and bringing this podcast up to speed, and the only way we can do that is
from either A, by listeners like you.
Yeah, either A, we hit the Powerball, and I don't remember the last time I bought a ticket, so I probably won't win if that's the case.
I think the last time we bought Powerball was when it was like the $1 billion one. Ooh. Not the recent one, right, but like the one before that.
When it first broke a billion?
Yeah.
So I don't think we're going to be able to hit the lottery. So what we're asking instead is that you become a member, support what we do. Right now, we don't give a lot of incentive for members, but you do get some incentives for sure.
Yeah.
You definitely get your shout outs. You definitely get access to early access to most episodes. You get the unrestrained when we do them. Once we can get built up and once we can get to a point where we're able to sustain what we're doing, our goal is to at least do one members only show a week at least.
Yeah.
And hey, we know we're ugly, but AI can fix our faces.
There's filters.
We could do the big eyelashes, all that stuff.
Maybe I'll be a bear.
We could be a bear. I'll be a carrot. You just never know.
Carrot?
I don't know. It was the first thing that popped into my head.
Okay.
Can you imagine being in the Neuralink when society no longer leaves the house and we're all living in the pods? And you show up to your virtual meeting because you never leave the pod. You got your computer right there, and you come in as a carrot.
That'd be funny.
And your boss, who's sitting at the head of the table, is like money? Some anime thing or something.
It's a turtle.
Let's hope we can never get to that point.
Right.
Anyway, if you want to become a member, go over to patreon.podbean.com/unrestrained. We also talked last week, you and I did, about the ability to have a live show.
Yeah.
Now, if we're able to make this happen, obviously we'd have to test it out a few times. I would love nothing more than on election night to go live and not just talk election. But
your goal is by November?
By November, I'm hoping that we're able to be on video.
Hopefully we've done a couple of lives. We have
got some lives under our belt, so we'll know how to do it. But we can't do it without your support. So, again, go to patreon.podbean.com/unrestrained. Also, the best way that you can help us, beyond becoming a member or, you know, donating money to us, if you want to donate, just hit us up on our DMs. We'll tell you where you can send it.
I'll give you my Cash App.
We would love to take any help we can get. Share the show. Like the show on whatever platform you're listening to, and leave a comment. Hey, we're listening from here, or hey, y'all are dumb, whatever. But if you like the show, you share it and you comment on it, the algorithm promotes us better.
Yeah.
Gives us a little more spread. So that is a huge help. It's probably as big as being able to become a member.
Yeah.
As far as getting the word out. We also noticed that we have a lot of listeners from all over the country.
In certain states. Yeah.
Certain states. We don't want to know just the state, though. We want to know your city and state. Where are you listening from? Go to theunrefinedguys.com. Up in the right-hand corner, go to the Contact Us. Scroll down to the bottom, and there's this little sheet you can pick. Just click on it. Send us a quick note. Tell us what city and state you're listening from. And from all of those that submit their information onto the city and state, we'll do a drawing or something, and we'll send a little care package your way.
Well, maybe we shout you out.
We'll probably definitely do that. I'm sure of it. But send us your information. Just tell us city and state that you're listening from, and in the next week or two, we'll pick one. Somehow or another, we'll figure out a way to pick it so it's not cheating. and we'll send you a little care package. Also, RavenCrestTactical.com. I almost forgot that completely. Head over to RavenCrestTactical.com. Check out all their great tactical knives. Made in America, 100% guaranteed for life. If you break anything, need it fixed, they will take care of it.
They have a great spring sale going on right now.
Oh, yeah. It's huge. So go over to RavenCrestTactical.com. Take a look around. And when you're on checkout, enter TUGS, T-U-G-S, for a extra added bonus discount. Until Friday.
Until Friday.
This has been the Midweek Tug.
Yep.
And I don't think we got the money shot this time.
We didn't.
This was just an edging session. I'm Tommy.
I'm Bear.
Have a great week. You want an honest man, but you don't understand. I won't be here when you wake up again.